We are now living in a time when foreign gangs can cross over our border and seize people's property at gunpoint with no fear of the law.
This video has been making the rounds online since yesterday. Shows armed men walking through a building, knocking on doors, and entering an apartment. These men are part of a dangerous Venezuelan gang, and their numbers have been growing steadily because of the crisis at the border.
There have been rumblings of new gang activity in Aurora all summer. Officials have skated around the topic, but now there's video and victims they can't deny.
It's really like being held hostage.
Cindy was a prisoner in her own home. She's lived in this building at 12th and Dallas for years. This summer, when crime got worse, Cindy got cameras. Doorbell video shows a group of armed men forcing their way into her neighbor's home. Another night, her camera outside captured two men approaching a vehicle, guns drawn.
What I am told is that police leadership put it out that no less than like three or four officers could respond to one of these complexes. I now have other property owners, other apartment complexes calling and telling me the same kinds of things.
Police stand down.
The biggest commodity over there.
Cindy says she survived the ordeal by staying quiet, giving them food and bed bug spray. Every night, praying she'd hear sirens.
They left us there to die.
In her new home, far away, the peace she feels is fleeting. Because for so many others, she says there is no escape, no solution, and no sign that help will ever come.
The people working to defund the police are the same people bringing in millions of foreigners without any expectation to assimilate. These foreigners are being given money, education, and homes, while tax-paying American citizens are being kicked out of their homes and losing their jobs. Property taxes generate approximately 75% of a city's funding. And as the job market, home sales, commercial real estate, and the entire U.S. economy continues to plummet, the average American citizen will no longer be able to pay the city's taxes, and city governments will become desperate. Right on cue, the federal government announces it will be giving out hundreds of millions of dollars to cities willing to take more migrants. This isn't new. The Department of Homeland Security, who is supposedly tasked with securing the homeland, has already given out $1 billion to city governments in return for taking more migrants. And there will be billions more given out. This incentivized plan of self-destruction is scheduled to last another 2 years. The Venezuelan gang violence in Aurora, Colorado, is already spilling out to the surrounding suburbs. And Aurora is just one of many. There are hundreds of sanctuary cities, counties, and states, all of which are losing money. And the funds being given out by Homeland Security will not cut it. They will only increase the amount of mouths to feed. As it turns out, the cost of feeding and housing tens of millions of people is unsustainable. And as the money starts to run out, things will get much more dangerous. John Williams predicts we will be seeing more demand for gated communities and private security companies.
A lot of these new residents are coming from a harder world. They're coming from the El Salvadors of the world, the Venezuelas of the world. You know, these countries where they know a lot of hardship and they've come here for a better life. And they're going to do what they have to do to achieve that better life. And as we walk into the winter, it's going to be real cold in San Francisco, in Denver, New York City, and if they don't have shelter, they're going to take it, most likely. I mean, if the food cuts off, if the shelter, becomes harder to come by, if all of these, perks and things they were promised
go away,
it's going to be a free-for-all.
Last year, 139 mayors officially told Congress they need more money to provide food, housing, and other services to their growing migrant community. They wrote that both city government agencies and local nonprofits are overwhelmed and cannot provide the most basic assistance.
Where do you see all of this going? Do you think that this video right here is the end? Or do you think that this situation is very well the beginning? It's only 3 months until winter. These cities, they're going to get really cold.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
And coming up, armed Venezuelan gangs just took over an apartment complex in Chicago. I'm told it's a bunch of them.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two on this live Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024 transmission that the deep state is fighting like the devil, because they are, to shut down. Now, incredible investigative journalist Anthony Rubin is going to be joining us to give us a first look at a major documentary report coming out in a few weeks. It'll be in studio to premiere, confirming with eyewitnesses, documents, tracking it, that the federal government itself, we already knew this, but here's footage of it, smuggling the kids and giving them to child traffickers, including sex traffickers. And we're going to play a short clip again of Trump talking about this now in his speeches, the 325,000 missing children in sex slavery and in regular manual slavery, slave labor. Even the New York Times reports that over a year and a half ago, but it's getting worse. I've said 100 times last hour, probably, till your ears bled, that Trump needs to not just say he's going to shut the border down, but he's going to find the children and they're going to prosecute who was behind this, and we know who was behind it, and who ended the DNA testing, Kamala Harris, Mayorkas, all of them, the NGOs, the charities, the Catholic, the Jewish charities, they're the two biggest, what they're called, Catholic charities, Jewish charities. Mayorkas is on the board of the Jewish charity. And so this is pure evil. I mean, remember, the Catholic Church got in all that trouble for covering up sex scandals. Well, this, or the Boy Scouts, this is the government working with these groups doing it. It's pure evil. I know it makes a lot of folks mad, makes me mad. But before I play that Trump clip and then go to our guest, I read the local news. So I said in the last few weeks, we saw Venezuelans in the last year saying, we're coming to America, we're going to take your property, we're going to take your homes, take your apartments. And it's happening all over the place. That it's not just Colorado. It's in Houston. It's not just Denver and Aurora. It's in San Francisco. It's in L.A. It's going on in New York City. We've shown the footage. We've had the guest on. And it's MS-13. It's Venezuelan gangs. It's all these other gangs. And it's these predators that come like flies to you-know-what to feed on the children. Well, this is on the local news, CBS News, ABC News. Chicago police called over armed Venezuelan migrants in apartment complex, taking it over. And here is the 911 call. So this just broke last night. Here it is.
Unit 10-3, citywide person with a gun, 6124 South King Drive. Caller says 32 Venezuelans are trespassing the building, showing guns in the courtyard, and they have motorcycles in the courtyard as well. All stairs. Well, they're filled. Nothing further is unclear.
And then there's more calls. So we're going to be getting to more of that as it unfolds. But then the police are told, don't respond. 32 armed Venezuelan street gangs taking over apartment complex. And you heard the local news in Denver. They're told, nah, don't send the police, or just send a couple cops if you have to, but don't run them out. And the governor said, it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. Now, here's Trump talking about the elephant in the room. He needs to do the rest of it. He says two, well, but another two makes four. He needs to complete the circuit and say, we're going to shut down the border. We're going to find the missing kids. We're going to deport the military-aged men. We're going to save the children. We're going to prosecute who's behind it. Justice demands it. Plus, they're going to continue to expand if we don't. These are pure criminals. Here's Trump.
Listen to these numbers, though. Seriously, if this were a Republican, they'd be stringing them up. Now listen to this number, because you have to understand what it means. 325,000 children have been lost. They've been allowed to be trafficked all across our borders. She flew in illegal aliens by the hundreds of thousands, and many of these were young children. But we have no idea where think of the number. 325,000 children are missing. Many are dead. Many are involved in sex operations. Many are working as slaves in different parts of probably this country and probably many others. But she was the border czar. Now she wasn't the border czar. But she was. It was headlines. Border czar, border czar. But now she doesn't want that term. But whether she was a border czar or not, she was in charge of the border. 325,000 children are missing. She created a fast pass entry program to speed the admission of illegals into all of our ports of entry. And remember when they said, no, now they have a new line.
So, they got rid of the DNA testing on purpose so they could cover their tracks. Anthony Rubin is an incredible investigative journalist and filmmaker. They got a major documentary coming out in 2 weeks. Anthony Rubin is a journalist who reports on illegal immigration, human smuggling, the issues affecting the border. Muckraker.com, on X at Real Muckraker, on YouTube, Real Muckraker. And he's giving us a first look on what is about to come out. They're going to be in studio, him and his team, in 2 weeks. He's been kidnapped in Mexico on record. Just very, very valiant fella and his crew. Thank you for joining us. I don't want to just talk about, first we will, the kind of first look at this huge story you're going to be breaking. But also just in general, the awakening to the level of trafficking. And do you agree with me that Trump needs to make this one of his central issues, not just exposing it's happening, but who's behind it, why they're doing it. They will be prosecuted. The border will be shut and we will find the children. Anthony Rubin, thanks for being with us.
Well, Alex, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And absolutely. You know, this is something that I've been thinking over the last couple of months. Is that he needs to make the hundreds of thousands of children that have gone missing a much bigger campaign issue. Honestly, that could win him the election. I mean, there's so much evil in this country and people are so brainwashed. But when it comes to children being labor trafficked, sex trafficked, possibly organ trafficked, that just strikes something primitive and primal in every man and woman, unless they're, you know, mentally ill. And that could win him the election. You know, it's the immediate comeback when they start to say, oh, you know, you want to have mass deportations and lock kids in cages, total nonsense. But he needs to rebut with the statistics, as I now see he has been doing, which is of course, the right move. And I also see that he's talking about the death penalty if you're found guilty of child trafficking, which is the appropriate response. And I think that he needs to continue with this messaging.
I totally agree with you. We're going to get to your huge story in a moment. I'm just setting the table. You've been reporting for years on the Venezuelan gangs and MS-13 and others. Now we've confirmed the Democrats in all the blue cities are ordering police to stand down, letting them take over buildings as another incentive to get them up here. Now $150,000 for the illegal aliens as a grant for homes in California, $30,000 in Oregon and other states, openly giving them driver's license to vote. Kamala Harris saying let them vote. Nancy Pelosi saying let them vote. Give them free stuff. I mean, this is just the normalization of importing voters in a permanent underclass. Give us your breakdown on that.
Absolutely. So everybody went crazy when that when the video from Aurora was shared of all these, you know, military aged men walking around armed, busting down a door. And I mean, obviously it's horrible. People need to understand is that is not an anomaly. That's happening across the country. So we've been knocking across over 10 different states with this list that was provided to us by a government insider. The list has the names of over 8,000 illegal alien children, the addresses that they were delivered to. We've been knocking all across the country over the last 3 months. And the apartment complexes that we go to basically every time are essentially what you see there in that viral video from Aurora in Colorado. My point is that that is not an anomaly. That is across basically every state now. I say basically, I mean, maybe it's not in Alaska. I'm not too sure. I've never been there. But pretty much every state in the continental United States, you have apartment complexes just like this. And the areas that we would knock looking for the children that we are going to, you know, show in this documentary live in apartment complexes just like this. I mean, I have story after story. so many stories that I've forgotten all the details at this point. But, I mean, this type of stuff is happening everywhere.
Start over, because that's really the big news. You're making a film and spending months and months on it. The witnesses going to the houses, knocking on the doors. Break down as much as you can tell us about the type of source that gave you the 8,000, just a nice sample of the missing children to start looking for them. Give us details of that.
You sure thing. So, honestly, I wish I had a bigger list. I wish I had more manpower and more resources. But given what we, given what we had, we made a very good use of it. And the list that we obtained was approximately 3 years old, meaning that the kids have been delivered about 3 years ago. And a lot of people thought that maybe it'd be useless. You're not going to be able to find the kids; they're going to be long gone. But that was not the case at all. As a matter of fact, there was kind of an unseen advantage to having an older list, because now you're further down the line and you can really see what the downstream effects were, the downstream consequences were, and the situations that these kids were delivered into. And so, yes, it was correct. A lot of people were correct. A lot of these kids have now gone missing. You show up and you knock on a door 3 years later. You're looking for a nine-year-old kid and they say, yeah, I don't have the kid anymore. The kid's on the other side of the country, or I gave the kid away to somebody. And that happened more times than I can remember. And had we gotten to them sooner, maybe we could have found them. So that's unfortunate. But on the other hand, we were able to now hear stories from children 3 years down the line, and some pretty incredible stuff. There was a tweet that you had shared that we put out the other day as we were kind of wrapping up this phase of our investigation, the last phase of this investigation. Maybe we'll start a part two. But what we did was, we basically investigated a trafficking case in Florida. And to give people some context here, this is a case that was referred to the Department of Health and Human Services over 3 years ago. Homeland Security had also been referred to this case and apparently was investigating it and got nowhere with it. They did absolutely nothing. I mean, they did some preliminary knocking, probably just showing that, yeah, we're out here, we're trying to do something, but they got absolutely nowhere, didn't find the kids. It took myself and two other men, hardcore journalism, going out there knocking and, using our brains to find these kids and being able to pull off what Homeland Security was unable to do. And we got the stories from two of these children that were delivered into a trafficking ring in Florida. This is a Guatemalan man who has received many, many kids. Confirmed he's received, or his network has received, around 19 children, but that's based off of the old list that we have. So it's likely that they've received many more. And these children were telling us, we got here. And immediately there was a debt slapped on our head. And over the last few years, we have been basically in debt servitude. They've been threatening us, continuously for this debt. And, the story goes on and on, but at a high level, that's what we got. And we were able to find two of these kids. Again, Homeland Security was unable to pull this off.
By the way, with your small team, getting the list of 8,000 from your sources, we've had Homeland Security try to get us to go do this as well. I haven't had the crew. You've gone out and done it. That federal judge has asked me to do the same thing you just did. I'm probably the same people. But this is what we need to get Trump and federal agents doing. But imagine you're at this guy's door, and he's like, yeah, I take kids. I just give them away. That right there is a giant crime. Whoever smuggled them in, whoever gave them to them, they're ghost children, and he's just admitting that. If that was law enforcement, you would have probable cause for child trafficking to arrest him right there, find out, quote, who he gave the child to. I mean, let that sink in. But we're just calmly talking about here, like, oh, I had a puppy. I gave it away to somebody. I don't know. Oh, where'd that bike go? Oh, I just gave it to somebody. I don't know. These are children we're talking about. Explain that to people.
Right. I mean, again, we have so much footage of that. I mean, again, more footage than I can even remember. Maybe somebody wants to buy it off me because I can't even use all of it. Where you show up and they say, yeah, we gave the kid away. It's a complete violation of the agreement that they sign when they receive the kid. And absolutely. The other thing is that when you speak to pretty much all of these people that have said, yeah, we've given the kid away, they have such a bravado about them, such a nerve about them. Like, they just don't care. Like, There's no concern whatsoever that they don't know who we are. They don't care who we are. And here we are knocking on the door. We're asking for the kid. We know who they are because we have all their information. We know who the kid is. We know where they live. And we're asking about a missing kid. And they just have this attitude about them, like they could do whatever the heck they want. And these are the people that are in this country now, these people that think it's okay to receive children and just, I don't know, sell them, give them away, put them into forced labor and servitude, whatever it may be. But the bravado of a lot of these people is such that they think that this is okay, and they seem to be totally unconcerned with what the consequences of that might be.
Well, they know the feds are aiding them and abetting them, and they're doing it through NGOs. They have a feeling of invincibility. Let me just roll some B-roll. This is us like 2 years ago at the Texas border. We have undercovers inside. They say, hey, there's a guy in there to pick up three little girls, like 10, 11, 12. He's going to, quote, make them work for the Lord. He sees her, follows out the undercover cop we had in there, and is totally arrogant. Says, yeah, nobody wants these kids. I'm going to make them work. He later puts them in a van and goes to Pennsylvania. I mean, no ID, no nothing, no record. This is so criminal. Go ahead.
Well, that's correct. It is so criminal. And the people behind this, there's many layers to this onion. I mean, we're looking at the final stage of this, the most outer layer or inner layer, depending on which way you're looking at it, which is, boom, end result, they're being delivered to somewhere, and they're going to be working in a warehouse or on a farm somewhere. But the story starts thousands of miles away. You know, these same kids that told us they were trafficked, they told us that they first heard about the journey to the United States via radio ads in Guatemala. And these kids are from a remote village in Guatemala somewhere. And they told us, yeah, we heard radio ads that were encouraging us to go to the United States. And so they met up with a coyote, and this coyote had also, you know, corralled a bunch of other children, and they smuggled them into Mexico, and they were in a tractor trailer over the course of a couple of weeks that would, you know, drive them for a little bit and then drop them off. They were telling us in a warehouse full of kids. They're telling us there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of kids in a warehouse in any given night in Mexico, and they would do it again. They would get in another tractor trailer, drive north, boom, get off, another warehouse they would be stored in until eventually they got to the United States. So the point is, it's an industrial-scale trafficking program, and it's not as if the Guatemalan government and the Mexican government don't know what's going on here. I mean, they're in on it. I saw now Mexico is going to actually start busing these people to the U.S. border. So, but that's what it is. I mean, there are people that are actually paying for radio advertisements, just like you see in Sound of Freedom, basically, encouraging these small kids to go up en masse to the United States. And then, of course, when they get here, they're just labor traffic. And that's what happened with these kids. They heard the radio ads. And then as soon as they got here, they were like, oh, you know, now we have to pay off our debt, our smuggling debt to the people that got us here.
Now, the Senate reports back when Obama was doing this confirmed that was sex slavery going on. So it's not speculation, but the New York Times would report on the physical slavery working in factories. This is a massive job. What would you advise Trump to do if and when he wins the election?
Trump should, honestly, I think that Trump should go after or should hire, bring on the team, private individuals that have actually shown proven expertise at this, such as, for example, whistleblowers Deborah White and Tara Rodas. I know that you've spoken to them. Carlos Arellano. I mean, these are people that were in the system. They know what's going on. But what happens is you have these government bureaucrats like the Homeland Security individuals that, you know, allegedly investigated this trafficking case in Florida that are totally useless, right? They weren't able to find anything. So you need people that are experts in the situation that could
Hold on. You're being too kind, though. They're not useless. They created the climate. They paid the money. They're facilitating it. Go ahead.
Correct. No, 100% agreed. But yeah, I mean, you've got a clear house and bring in people that have actually proven expertise on this matter. And then, yeah, point to where the kids are. They know where the kids are. I mean, it's not a secret to have all this documented. And start sending special forces teams or whoever, SWAT teams, local police, whoever it may be.
I was about to say, let me stop you. Because imagine if a governor, like our governor in Texas or in Florida, they find out where the safe houses are. The feds are doing this illegally. You SWAT team them with cameras in the news. It's over for Kamala. Go ahead.
100%. There is a lot of corruption, though, that's going on in these, especially on the tribal land that these kids are held on. So these children that we found were held in a facility in Pomona, California, which is on tribal land.
Okay? Oh.
And something interesting that happened here was there were some very, very suspicious cases. For example, the trafficking case in Florida. And when there was a census printed, so they basically had a census taken of all the kids that had been taken in and then subsequently delivered out of this intake shelter, right? There were actually names that were scrubbed from that census and nobody knows what's happened to them. So somebody actually went in and scrubbed the names off of that census. Because if you have that census, which I do, and you look for the names of the children that were delivered to this Florida address, it's not there. It's only because there were brave people that were and that were had the foresight to actually take the names out of the database beforehand that we have that information. But on the census that they printed out and saved, there are many, many names of children that were delivered to egregious situations that are not there. So nobody knows where those kids went. And there needs to be a massive investigation into that. That's beyond the scope of my power. I can't do that. But a guy like President Trump needs to get this information and do something about it.
What would you call these, ghost children?
Sure. Ghost children, that's a good name. Absolutely. Children where there is no documented record of it. I mean, the thought is, the allegation is, I suppose, that somebody actually went in and deleted these kids off of whatever database record there was on them in the Pomona intake shelter system. Because as far as anybody's aware, those records are gone now. You can't find them. If you look for the kids that we found that were admitted to being trafficked in Florida and you look for them in the Pomona system, you will not find them.
Unbelievable. And we've had the whistleblowers. I've had your colleagues on that were, you know, feds that were involved in this and blew the whistle to Congress. And they literally talked about the first staging grounds at private Walmarts with hundreds of kids a day being rotated out, just handed over, in many cases with no ID, totally ghosted. And then and when you are able to track where they went, they're like, oh, I just gave the kid away. Imagine that. This is so dangerous. Why do you think the Democratic Party has been so brazen to commit a crime this massive, this evil? I mean, these are wild, wild men, wild women. This is just so spectacularly evil.
I don't think they care. And now at this point, I don't think that they can admit it. I mean, can you really get members of the so-called squad or anybody else, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi? I mean, can they really admit what's going on? It would be political suicide. So now you just have to sweep it under the rug. Which shows, of course, how evil these people are, that they don't give a damn. But yeah, you know, I saw something that Tim Walz was accusing Donald Trump of wanting child labor, if you could even imagine. It's total 1984 doublespeak with these people. But that's what it is, I think, with most of them. And I also think, honestly, the Republicans are largely useless. They're certainly the better of the two. But I think that the Republicans, there's just a lot of political theater. We're going to release this report. By the way, the trafficking took place in Byron Donald's congressional district. Right. Big time congressman. I tagged him in the tweet that we put out that got over a million views. So I doubt he didn't see it. But let's see if he's going to offer any comment on this. I hope he does. I'm not saying that he won't. And I'm not, you know, alleging that he's turning a blind eye to this. But I will be very curious to see what Republicans actually make a comment on this when we release it. You know, and I would just, I think that everybody should keep a keen eye on Republicans in general and look at the ones that are speaking out against this and which ones are, you know, remaining quiet, because certainly not all of them are talking out against it.
Well, you literally read my mind. We're going to go to break. I want to come right back where you're going. Now, that was my next question. I was going to say, when we go to break, I want to talk about this when we come back. You're really a leading expert on this when it comes to boots on the ground, getting stuff done. And even more so, as you said, these wonderful men and women whistleblowers from, you know, mid-level, high-level, low-level DHS that have saw it and gone public to Congress. Then they get swept under the rug. You know, we got people like AOC standing at a fence at an empty center saying Trump was enslaving children and then showing photos of Obama putting them in cages. They're all really guilty of this, and it's time to call them out, but not just the Democrats. Republicans, that you said, are useless. You're right. The Republicans are useless. The Democrats are running it. So by extension, once we expose this, the Republicans that are useless are now complicit. Let's talk about putting heat to the Republicans' asses when we come back with Anthony Rubin of Muckraker. Stay with us. COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain blood immune cancer reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH. This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine, myocarditis, and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin, derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality and the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I've been on air 30 years, and about 10 years into being on air, well, 7-8 years, Rick Linklater, who's not a Hollywood guy but a big filmmaker, said, hey, I like your show, I'm going to put you in some movies. So I'm in movies with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder and Woody Harrelson and Morton Downey Jr. and all those kind of people. But after that, Hollywood called me out there, and they wanted you to put me in bigger films, but they wanted me to sell out, so I didn't do it. And meeting some of the biggest Hollywood stars really back then, it didn't mean anything to me. It was interesting, but I didn't care. But knowing people like President Trump that's putting his life on the line, knowing people like Ron Paul, knowing people like Anthony Rubin, knowing people like Tucker Carlson who's fighting so hard, knowing people, you know, that are really out there making a difference. And I mean, tell you, I've gone and covered the child smuggling probably 10 times. And it's so angering when you see them smuggling the kids, you can't stop them. There's no ID, no nothing. Some of them are babies. That I don't know how the Border Patrol sits there and watches all this happen under orders to facilitate it. They complain, they speak out, but they're facilitating it. That's admitted. And I don't know how the DHS whistleblowers, who've now gotten out, but now make this their full-time job that he was talking about earlier that we shat back on, how they deal with it. Because this is true evil. I mean, if you saw your neighbor's kid grabbed out of the backyard and disappeared in a white van, you'd have nightmares about it for years. Especially if they never found him. Or imagine your kid. I mean, like, where's the instincts? Where is the... I remember that famous footage of the ABC reporter her own crew leaked it. And she's like, yeah, we knew he was trafficking kids, but they wouldn't let me run it. I'd have been really famous. It would have been the top story if I did. She didn't care. I forget her name. We put her on screen the other day when I talked about it. She didn't even care about the kids. It was just, oh, I would have been really big. But whatever, so what? I mean, don't they have empathy knowing that can happen to them or their kids? Because empathy is where you see somebody else's kid, it feels like yours. You have that instinct, so it doesn't happen to your kid. So that's where we're at. So I interrupted you some. You're making incredible points. I want you to basically go wherever you want now after you answered the question that you already said before I asked it about the useless Republicans. Trump is not useless. He's bringing it up, but he's not saying we're going to find him. We're going to arrest the people that did this. He needs to go all the way. So he's the best, but that's still not useless, but half-ass. I'll just be point blank. And then you see the other Republicans won't say a damn thing about it. You've got Gates and Jim Jordan and a few others. When Nunes was in there, he was talking about it. But this isn't something that you just cover here on the side because, again, the kids, it's terrible what's happening to them. But a government that thinks it can get away with this, if it does, well, I mean, what comes next? I mean, this is crazy. And we know crime and kid. I had a stack I never covered Sunday of just, you know, NFL top pick shot, congressman's house robbed, congressman carjacked, like prominent people's all you hear about now, or prominent, you know, movie actor's daughter kidnapped. I mean, it's like, and I see the real crime numbers. The FBI tries to suppress them, but they leak. And I mean, it's dangerous out there, folks. And it's getting more dangerous. And what's wrong with the people running things that they think a society like this is one they want to live in as well? Where's their money going to be worth anything if everything collapses? They'll have more of the fiat money, but they won't be able to leave their bunker. And they're all building bunkers. It's just crazy. So what I think more than targeting Democrats, because they love it, they know they're doing it. AOC's been confronted with this. She's been sent all the documents. She covers it up. She loves it. She's a damn demon, a soulless Satanist. But so instead of focusing on Democrats, yeah, that's what I'm doing with Trump. We need to focus on Republican governors and attorney generals and legislatures. And we need to focus on Congress, speak to that, and then elaborate into, I mean, hype this up, because this is big, because you've only delivered, your reports are always what you say and more, and you've got a huge documentary coming out, finding the missing children, and then finding people that said, yeah, I got some 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and I just gave them to somebody. Well, you know, I mean, real law enforcement would grab them by the neck and drag them in, and, you know, they'd be indicted, and we'll only put you in jail for 5 years if you tell us where the kids are. I mean, literally, in the old days, they'd be taking phone books to their heads. And that's when you do that for kids, folks. I mean, the gloves are off here. Because, again, if a species will let its young be targeted, the species is dead. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said there. If we're going to talk about why we have, to take it back a minute to what you were asking, why we have Republicans that, you know, aren't making this one of their top issues, aren't out there talking about this every single day, trying to do something about it. I don't know that I have the answer there, but I can speculate, right? On the one hand, I think that most of these people are simply useless. And you could tell that they're useless if you just look at any of these spending packages that are put forth, right? None of it has to do, I mean, what is a congressman? What are they really supposed to do? I mean, the purpose of the House is it's supposed to be the House of the people, right? They are supposed to be representing on a more localized level their district and fighting for the needs of their particular district that sent them up to Washington to represent them. But that's not really what happens, is it? These people basically become subservient to all these outside lobbyists. And when you look at these spending packages, there's nothing that benefits their district. If you take any given congressman, for the most part, they're not really fighting for anything that's going to benefit their district. They're fighting for what's going to benefit the person who funded their most recent campaign, right? And so I think that a lot of it is simply that it's, you know, they have no room for it in their political agenda. And so there's that, although if they did make a campaign issue out of it, even if they were just thinking politically, it would probably help them again, because people are tired of this crap and they want to see these children rescued on a basic primitive level. But now, if I'm going to speculate a bit, if everybody remembers, and if people haven't listened to it, they have to do it. The leaked audio between Jeff DeWitt, the GOP chair in Arizona, and Carrie Lake, where he was trying to get her to step aside. And he was like, well, what's your number? Right. What's it going to take for you to kind of go away for a couple of years and then come back? one of the things that was in that audio recording was he mentioned, he goes, and I forget what the full context of this was, but he goes, you know, the cartel right now is operating across all 50 states. And it was sort of like a veiled threat. And I truly think that if you had, especially these Congress people that are very low level, they're easy to find. And all you have to do is wait outside, like, what is it, Longfellow or one of the other like office buildings in Washington, D.C. and wait for these people, you'll find them. And they can very easily be taken out. Of course, I'm not calling for violence, right? But what I'm saying is that they can be found. And I believe probably that there is a legitimate fear of these smuggling organizations, these cartel organizations, that, you know, if you shake things up too much, that you will be a legitimate target. Because as was in that leaked audio between Carrie Lake and the GOP chair, these people are operating in all 50 states. I've seen it myself. You walk around Roosevelt Avenue in Queens, for example, you see people with Gulf cartel hats on.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there could be a very legitimate fear that these people might have of being taken out if they make this a real issue.
Go back to that, because I remember playing that clip a few times. There's the head of the RNC at the time. He had to resign, telling Carrie Lake, hey, you better watch out. You better just take this money. You know, there's some big folks back east want to take care of you. She goes, well, how much? I mean, it's incredible. And he starts talking, well, it could be a lot. And she goes, well, I'm not going to take that. He goes, well, you better watch out for the cartels.
Right.
They're using them as muscle.
Right. Well, I think that these people might legitimately be afraid to take a stand. Now, of course, I don't give them a pass. If you are running for Congress and you're down there in Washington, D.C., and you're going to be too coward to call out the issues that actually plague this country, I mean, you have to be willing to put your life on the line if that's the position you want to hold. But unfortunately, these people are not. They're cowards, mostly useless people. But if you're asking me why, those are my answers. I think for the most part, it just doesn't benefit them politically. They're worried about benefiting their special interests, the lobbyists, the people that got them into that position to begin with. And I think they're probably afraid for their life, on the other hand, probably on the fringes.
And that's the crazy part. Zapata said, a lot of people have said this throughout history, it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees. In my experience, you live on your feet, you die on your knees. So these people want to sell out, do everything that the system wants. Well, the system then gets taken over by more and more corrupt people, and then you create a hell on earth. Don't they understand that?
I suppose not. I mean, most of these people are really bad people. I mean, I've met with, I'll say it on air right here. So I had a meeting with a congressman, an in-person meeting with a congressman by the name of Chuck Edwards in North Carolina. Okay. Meeting was set up and we went there. This was a few months ago. And we brought all of our findings from when we did the trek from South America to the US border. I came with maps, came with everything. And first of all, he had no idea. I mean, he didn't even know that the UN was behind this. He goes, well, that's actually very interesting that you're telling me that the United Nations is behind this. You know, I wasn't aware of that. But then he has the nerve to just get like, I maybe it was because he realized that I knew a lot more than him and he really didn't have any idea of what was going on. And here is this relatively young man going up and educating this congressman and the issues that he's supposed to be an expert on. And he just gets totally like condescending with me. And he's like, well, you know, I'm kind of beyond investigations. You know, if you look at the bills that I passed, this, that, and the other thing. And it was, and I called him out. I was like, man, you're actually useless. I was like, so here I am. I was like, I'm handing you maps. I'm showing you things you've never seen before. You can go. I mean, I don't know what you might do with this information, but it's information you didn't have before. And he just gets totally condescending with me. And, you know, the meeting ended on such a horrible note. And my point is that that is one of hundreds. I think that many people share that same mentality. It's like this elite class. If you go down, you go into their office buildings in Washington, D.C., anybody that hasn't done this should do it. Go walk around their office buildings and just go see these people. I mean, they walk around these cliques. You'll even see the Democrats and the Republicans, like these congressmen that on TV, they act like they're their worst enemies. But then you see them walking around grabbing lunch together like they're best friends. It's all for show. These people, generally speaking, I think are very phony individuals, cowards. And I think it's really probably 5% or less of them that actually are willing to put it all on the line for our republic.
You're absolutely right. But then if you have the conservative caucus that's, you know, 30-something real people, they're playing a baseball game. Here comes the leftist and tries to kill him and shoot Scalise and tries to kill Senator Paul. So absolutely, it's because Paul's had his ribs caved in, his lung punctured. He's been attacked a bunch of other times because they're out to get him. And I can tell you, I get attacked. You've been kidnapped. You've been attacked. I mean, but at the same time, I don't even call it fear. It's like a duty. But it is a form of fear, but it doesn't feel like I'm scared. It's a drive that I've got to fight them. I've got to confront them. The drive is the opposite of hiding, and you nailed it. Without even looking for these articles. So if I looked, I'd have like 100 of them. Congressman robbed, home invasions, kids kidnapped, top NFL draft pick shot, mayor shot, city councilwoman killed, city councilman run over. I mean, just the other day, I was like, why is there all these? Because they just print me all these top news stacks, hundreds of articles, and I send them hundreds of articles, and they just print me stuff that's interesting. And I'm like, what is this? And then I can see the crime. I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. They rob the cars all the time if you don't park them in the garage. Everybody I know, working class, middle class, upper class neighborhoods, everybody's getting robbed. People are getting held up all over the place. There's all sorts of shootings. There's homeless people. Last night, I was driving home in a nice area of town, but they've got homeless people at every corner. And a crazy guy with his shirt off that looked like Dawn of the Dead turned towards my car. It's a green line I'm driving. I'm driving about 50, and it's a 50. And it's an access road, and there's a bunch of tents and homeless, and a guy with a baseball bat walks out in the road in front of me. I slow down to about 5 miles an hour. Now I'm about 50 yards from him. He turns to me with this ghostly, psychotic face, had to be meth or something, with a baseball bat and spit running down his face. And I was almost got my camera, but then by then he like stumbled off into the night. I went and saw the movie Reagan. It was great, by the way. I mean, you call it cheesy. Well, they were Leave It to Beaver back then. It's very accurate from transcripts of stuff that happened. So my parents met me at the theater. I went to the theater. My older daughter went. She went home. I went home. My parents went home. So I'm driving home at like 9 o'clock at night, and there's a drooling guy in the middle of the street with a baseball bat with his shirt off. I mean, I see this crap every day, bro. It's bad.
Right. Right. And I mean, yeah, that's one story of many. I fled Los Angeles about a year ago, and it was like that. It was literal zombie land. I couldn't stand it anymore. But, you know, just taking this back a step to what I was mentioning before with Jeff DeWitt and Carrie Lake and the leaked audio where they were basically threatening her and saying, don't run again. Imagine how many other circumstances and situations that are like that with the hundreds of politicians on the federal level that work in the legislative branch. Imagine how many more conversations like that take place every year, right? That's probably a common conversation. You know, we just happened to hear one of them with Carrie Lake, but I'm sure that these people are threatened and blackmailed. I mean, we know that they are. And so I think that that is probably a very legitimate reason why these people don't want to speak out against these trafficked kids. Let me get to this. And when we come on in studio in a couple of weeks, we could do a deeper dive, but it's worth mentioning now that we're kind of in this vein. There is a CIA contractor by the name of MVM. Okay, now this contractor has been around for decades. They worked with the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, Department of Homeland Security, State Department, everybody, right? I mean, their tendrils are everywhere. And they're a private security contractor. They, for example, they send personnel down to Guantanamo Bay. They have, if you look right now on the website, they're hiring for positions to send people to Guantanamo Bay. They guarded CIA stations in Iraq, that sort of thing. Now, this
say
CIA
the name one
contract,
more time for people listening. We'll put it on screen.
MVM, as in Mary Victor Mary. So that just MVM.com. MVM Inc. is actually the name of the organization. But just look up MVM and you'll find it. MVM CIA contractor. You will find it. And so these people, this organization is one of the top organizations that's responsible for escorting these kids, I say escorting, in quotes, these kids across the country. And if you could even imagine that, so you have a CIA contractor that's actually now moving these kids. And I mean, these are contracts that are worth tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, again, to bring it back now to the politicians, I am sure, I don't have proof of this, but I am sure that there are behind the scenes conversations. Organizations like MVM do not want those contracts threatened, right? I mean, that's a large part of their business now. They don't want those contracts threatened. So, well, let's make sure that these Congress people don't do too much to rock the boat, because then, you know, we're going to have to make some cutbacks, right? So again, we will get more into this. We actually stormed their headquarters in our documentaries. People will see that. We show up at their headquarters in McAllen, Texas, where they just have a parking lot full of these white vans that they use every morning to smuggle these kids. And they throw masks on the kids, right? As soon as they see us, everybody puts a mask on, you know, keep your head down. And that's what's going on. I mean, the CIA contractor, they know all the tactics, and they are escorting, in quotes, these kids all across the country.
And you've done reports showing some of the other NGOs. Talk about the mothership NGOs and then all the contractors that are under them.
MVM is definitely a mothership. That is a big one. Southwest Key is another big name that you hear. They're the ones that operate the Walmart facilities in South Texas and really all along the southern border. I mean, they're everywhere. They're in New Mexico. They're in Arizona. They're in California. Everybody, actually, you can just go and Google Southwest Key facility, like on Google Maps, and you'll see some of them pop up. And oh, I mean, incredibly mismanaged and horribly run. We've already spoken about this on past shows that I've come on, but, you know, stories of, and again, this is open. People can look this up, of MVM workers, you know, molesting a kid and exposing him to HIV. I think that individual is now serving like 20 years. I mean, probably should be put to death, in my opinion, but I think he's serving around 20 years. An escort groping a kid on an airplane. And again, these are just the people that have been exposed. Could you imagine how many child gropers and fondlers and molesters are working for these organizations that are still at large right now? I can't even imagine, but they're certainly out there.
You're dead on. And look, and this is not something I'm even proud of. He was a great man, you know, highly decorated in Vietnam, helicopter pilot, covert operations. But my mom's brother worked in Iran-Contra, and he was, you know, pretty senior, but he was building airfields and communication systems, mainly in Central America. And again, he told me some of this. He's one of the reasons I was so awake, because he got out of it in the late 80s. And you know, he was reporting directly to the White House. Reagan wasn't involved. It was George Herbert Walker Bush was running it all. He said that. And I mean, he was doing, like, you know, reports and stuff on Morse code to him, because that's, you know, they couldn't decode that. And he'd been the world champion Morse coder at one time when he was a teenager. That's actually a true story. And the youngest ham radio operator ever at a time to have the license. He was like, you know, Johnny Quest or something. But he said that he and a bunch of the guys got out because he said they were smuggling kids out of orphanages and that the CIA was doing it with airplanes. And then here you are right now today. It's a CIA contractor. The CIA is who they are, folks, doing this. This has been going on a long time. They're just scaling it way up to levels that are just insane. Can you speak to that? And then also, they say like 75-80% are getaways, or they never contact them. And they know they bring kids across and dump them and then bring them back. Sometimes just throw the babies out in the field after they've used them or they're sick, you know, because then they're let in and they have a kid with them. There's no DNA testing. I mean, if it's 325,000 since Biden's been in that the feds admit are missing, any ideas on what the real numbers are?
Hey, as far as what the real numbers are, that's anybody's guess. Let's start at 300,000 and just assume it's more than that. I mean, honestly, whatever the government reports is always wrong. Maybe double that. I don't really know. Truthfully, I'd be lying if I said that I knew the number, but it's hundreds of thousands. I mean, past a certain point, does it make a difference? I mean, right, if it's 600,000 or 800,000, I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of kids, right? Let's start by finding one. Right. As of right now, as far as I know, the federal government has not attempted to find one of them. So let's start there and see if we can find a couple thousand. But it's hundreds of thousands of these kids. Now, you were talking about the CIA, trafficking. Right. And you asked me to speak on that. What I will say is this. So, again, we talked to more kids than I can remember. And one of the common themes that you hear, we would ask them, so explain the transportation process. Right. How did you get from the shelter, in air quotes, to the final destination? And they told us, a lot of times we heard a story where it was a very similar story where they would be basically loaded onto a charter flight. So this was a secret flight that was all kids. So when you see these flights that are leaving out of, for example, McAllen, Texas, and you just show up at McAllen Airport and you get on basically any of the morning flights, you will see on those flights children being escorted to Houston, and then that's where they have their labor and they fly to wherever else. But these children were telling us, no, we actually had special airplanes that would load up all the children. They'd fly us to our destination, and then we would have a charter bus come pick us up. And then what would happen from the charter bus is we would basically get driven out to the middle of a field somewhere, and that's where the quote-unquote sponsors would all come and pick up the kids from this hidden field so that nobody could see what was going on.
And by the way, we started exposing that right when Biden got in. And we even got footage of it. They didn't admit it for a year. But now that's admitted on the news, where it shows them at 3 a.m. landing in New York, Illinois, flying them out of Texas, flying them to Florida. I mean, what you're saying is on record, but you're talking to the kids that experienced it.
Absolutely. Like I said, more kids than I can remember have told us the same story. Charter flights. Then they land at some airstrip somewhere, and the charter buses come, and they pick them up, and they get driven out to the field. And that's where they're dispensed to these sponsors. And never heard from again.
All right.
And that's what's going on.
Anthony Rubin, again, you're a hero, and I know you don't want to hear that, but this is a hero. This is a real man This is the real deal in Central America, in Mexico, getting kidnapped in the jungles, all the way from where it starts to where it ends. This, look at it for the kids out there. This is what you want to be like. Anthony, you're going to be in studio to break this 2 weeks from now. I can't wait, sir. People need to follow you right now on YouTube at Real Muckraker, on X, Real Muckraker, and your website, muckraker.com. They should support you so you can expand your team. God bless you, sir.
God bless you as well, Alex. Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon.
God bless you, man. Yeah, my uncle, I never saw him cry except when he was about to get put on a ventilator for about 10 minutes, spilt his guts. He told me a lot of it. He told my mom even more, and he started crying. So imagine he's building airfields to fight communists and ship, you know, guns in and you know what out. He already did that for the country. And he said, but he finally, the evil got so bad. He said it finally hit a moment where I was just like, oh my God, I've been serving evil. Because he did what they said in Vietnam. Oh yeah, he did. You know what they shipped out of there? My uncle did that under orders, Uncle Sam, folks. Opium. And this is the real world, folks. And so it's time to grow up and stop following the orders and get your soul back. Because you don't want to be crying on your deathbed. And he was a great man. So, I can't fight these people without you, folks. We're exposing the poison shots. We're exposing the human trafficking. We're fighting it all. And I'm willing for them to kill me if they might. But at the end of the day, I want to stay on air. And I need money to fight these bastards. I want to expand, not just stay where we're at. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. We got great products, the best water filtration, the best herbal foods at the lowest price, incredible supplements, the InfoWars MD line, the CBD gummies. They're good for your immune system and so great for inflammation and so much more. All the great products, InfoWarsStore.com. Go there, support us, and support our sponsor that's not InfoWars. In case they shut this down, my dad's company is a key first sponsor for us. It's got great products, the NanoSilver products, all the other great supplements. The Next Level Foundational Energy is not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. But the key compounds like methylfolate in the cells, you need to experience it. drjonesnaturals.com. I need you to make the decision to go there and support us. It's like a donation, but you'll love what you get in the mail. And I hope you love it. I think you will. We get rave reviews. And you'll order more. We have that relationship. Please support me. I need your help. I can't do this without you. You are everything. When you decide to take action, nothing on earth can stop you. drjonesnaturals.com. drjonesnaturals.com are the coordinates for these great products and to keep us on the air in the critical fight. I won't back down. I won't give in. I can't sell out, but I could give out. Help me now. I fired the bat signal. Hour number three, straight ahead. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth and is way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver, when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central
got
banks
so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not if they there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh. So silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.